Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. Okay, so I had to really switch quickly to like wrestling mindset because off air, me and Joel were just talking about the new Avengers
trailer,
Infinity War trailer, and so like that's the only thing going on in my mind right now. So John Cena and Guardians of the Galaxy are teaming up or something. I don't know.
You know what? I'm actually gonna parlay this into this.
Okay.
Because it's gonna be awesome.
I'm waiting to see.
So this is because I have very little to talk about this week.
No, me too. I was gonna bring up like two like real ancillary news items from like today. That's it.
Like just kind of going into it, and I was like, can we talk about Survivor Series again? Like,
right. I mean, honestly, because my roommate came home today or last night, and he had been gone. He's been gone for like a couple weeks because he travels for work. And I was just sitting here explaining to him like why he should go back and watch War Games and maybe like a match or two from Survivor Series. And it made me hyped. And I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to talk about War Games and Survivor Series. Oh wait, we already did that.
We already did that. Yeah.
Dang.
And like Clash of Champions is like happening,
yeah,
but it feels like it's already fallen into the old trap of like, I know what all these matches are. You haven't announced them, but I know what all these
we
matches
know
are.
What all the matches are. I think there's a good chance that Nakamura is not on the card
because
he wasn't even on SmackDown.
Yeah,
they're again, I think he's in that weird mode, that in that weird section where WWE's saving him for the dark match for the so the live audience doesn't go home during 205,
right?
You know. And, like, yay for them having some sort of strategy, but boo for me because I want to watch my guy on TV. But, it you know, and there's only so much hype you can build up around AJ,
a guy who's not on TV.
AJ versus Jinder.
Yeah.
You know, like, they kicked Jinder out of the main event of Survivor Series specifically for the same reason. But Clash of Champions, who cares?
Yeah.
If WWE doesn't care enough to get Jinder Mahal out of the main event of the pay-per-view, then I shouldn't care either.
Yeah.
That's my mindset on this.
And that's a perfectly fair mindset. And I mean, like, and it's weird because part of it is like, oh, nope, there is a rematch clause. Mm-hmm. Like, stick into your rules that you've established. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm like, no, I know what your setup is. I know that
yeah.
you took the belt off of him to save this show. And you did it. Good job.
Sure.
Right call.
Yeah. But now you're still stuck with Jinder Mahal, like, wanting. Again, of all the times where, like, WWE has just flat out, like, conveniently forgotten somebody's rematch clause, why bother remember it now?
Well, it's like, we're not even throwing, like, leftover scraps to Clash of Champions. These are specifically unwanted scraps.
Yeah.
Storylines were changed to keep this from happening.
Yep.
And then these are the scraps that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, going into this, I'm like, I got very little. And I'm kind of racking my brain. I'm like, all right, so we were talking this week about Daniel Bryan's chances of wrestling again.
Yes.
And I'm like, but there's not really a news story with
no,
that. It just kind of came up in general conversation.
Well, it came up because... for anyone that doesn't know, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks are basically ponying up for their own show at a 10,000-seat stadium. Haven't decided exactly where yet. Essentially, Meltzer had said something early in the year and said Ring of Honor couldn't do a show with that many, at a venue with that many seats.
Right.
And Cody basically took that up as a challenge. And so... they kind of solidified, you know, that they're planning to do this in 2018. And then I think someone had just asked him, you know, what his main event would be. And I think he just dropped that, you know, he would love for it to be between him and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan's contract is up, I think, beginning of fall.
Somewhere third quarter 2018.
Right. So it would be later in the year, which I assume that's probably when their show would happen anyway, because...
it takes a while to set up a show like that.
Right, especially that big. And so that kind of spurned our conversation because I took that as, whether or not he was intended or not, I took that as Cody doing Daniel Bryan a huge favor as far as, you know, WWE allowing him to wrestle in their company again. because, you know, WWE, especially Vince, has that syndrome where, you know, if it's a forgotten toy, he'll want to play with it as soon as someone shows that they want to play with it, you know, more than he does, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, WWE has this big anti-Bullet Club, anti-elite thing going on with their cease and desist and everything. So I felt like in that aspect, Cody might have done Daniel Bryan a favor, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Daniel Bryan might be in the mindset of, like, if he gets enough matches that he likes in WWE, he might still leave. You know, just, you know, kind of grass, not necessarily grass is greener, but, like, you know, checking off some things off of his list before he, you know, fully, you know, hangs it up.
Right.
You know?
I feel like, and I said as much to you, I think Daniel Bryan will wrestle again.
Yeah.
At this point, at this point, there's almost no doubt that Daniel Bryan will wrestle again. Unless...
Barring their, you know, a new test that he goes through that says, you know, definitively that he cannot.
Right.
You know? But beyond that, which, it, like, all signs show that that's not the way things are going right now. Which, you know, is great for him.
He will wrestle again.
It's completely 100%.
The question at this point becomes, will he wrestle in WWE again or not? Mm-hmm. And I'm leaning towards yes for several reasons.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the risk factor, your options are Daniel Bryan wrestles and gets hurt, badly paralyzed or whatever.
Right.
And he doesn't.
Yeah.
And he either does that in the WWE ring or not.
Yeah.
So four outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
If he wrestles, doesn't get hurt, wrestles in WWE and doesn't get hurt, that's a win for WWE.
Absolutely, because now they have a top-tier star that the fans actually are naturally behind.
That's what the dream is. If he wrestles out of the WWE and doesn't get hurt, that's a risk. All right, that's a down.
Yes, specifically for WWE.
Because they've lost this star, and people will gravitate.
They
and
lost WWE, about a year and a half of a wrestler who could have been performing for them.
Right.
You know?
Well, and this is the first time in a long time that WWE genuinely has competition nipping at their heels.
Right.
And that's not to say that WWE's number one slot is anywhere in danger.
Right.
And part of it is they're being threatened not by another company, but by the entire concept of indie wrestling.
Right.
That you can throw New Japan and Ring of Honor into, and then just names like Cody and Young Bucks.
Yeah.
And so, but Daniel Bryan will get eyes on other product.
Yeah.
Which WWE doesn't want. Mm-hmm. And then your two scenarios where Daniel Bryan gets hurt.
Yeah.
One is in the ring, in WWE ring, which is their worst outcome.
Right.
And then not in the WWE ring. And that's the kind of thing where people point to that and say, like, and that's when WWE can say, we told you so, you got hurt. You went and wrestled when we said not to, and you got hurt.
Right.
But if that happens, the headline will be WWE superstar Daniel Bryan injured in the ring.
Right.
And then lower down in tiny print, I'll go, former WWE superstar.
Right. Yeah.
But now, just this guy getting hurt, this famous wrestler getting hurt wrestling, will be a black mark on WWE no matter where it happens. And WWE saying, no, we said no, we're a good company, we care for our wrestlers, is going to get lost in the shuffle, especially with the casual viewers to the don't watch it, except this John Cena actor is funny, and oh, he used to be a wrestler. Right. Let me check that out once.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that there's so much risk and downside out there.
Yeah.
That if he's gonna wrestle anyway, you roll the dice.
Yeah.
Give him some safe matches. Give him some gentle submission matches.
Yeah.
And nobody touches his neck.
Yeah.
Well, you keep in WWE where you can control that.
Yeah. Pretty much where they can monitor it as soon as they start seeing any sort of signs or anything, you know, go in. And but also know that Daniel Bryan's going to do his best to not show any signs if there is, you know, because that's just how he is.
He is, but your indie booker is not going to be looking for it. No. They're stoked to have Daniel Bryan on the show.
Well, right. And, you know, nobody can blame them. Like, you know, a lot of people, like maybe they're saying that, you know, Cody's, like, just stirring the pot or whatever. Honestly, anyone who is booking, like, a giant show that they're wanting people to put eyes on.
Mm-hmm.
Of course Daniel Bryan's going to be at the top of your list. No matter who it is.
Anybody,
you know,
any independent wrestler or independent promotion right now, if you are booking a show for October 2018 beyond, you can get a microphone in front of your face or any kind of press, you say, we're looking at Daniel Bryan. Yeah. We're going to see. I mean, it's the same thing with Punk 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
Where you're like, you know, you're saying we're interested in Punk. We'd like to see what he can do. Da, 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 just to get your name out there. And like, what was that random promotion?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. They had like had this big battle royal thing going on, I think. And they had said that they had offered Punk X amount of money, like giant, enormous amount of money to make an appearance. And everyone was like, wait, what? We've never heard of you. And then, you know, we found out that, oh, they never did make any sort of offer to Punk.
They just sent that out there. That was their offer.
Right. That they just sent the message out there to the public basically for attention.
Yeah. And they didn't capitalize on that.
No.
Which is why we can't remember what they're called now.
No, and I think they ended up folding anyways.
Yeah. But that
means, at least the show ended up folding.
But in this, you know, showbiz carny world that we're talking about, that's a solid move. They got their name out there. They got their event out there.
Yeah.
And then again, just clearly weren't able to capitalize on it in any long-standing, lasting way.
No, absolutely.
And again, I didn't follow it close enough to be like, this is what they did wrong. This is where they should have turned.
But at the same time, like, I think if by some chance that Daniel Bryan leaves WWE, at, you know, in next year, and this does end up happening, and then I believe Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks has said that, you know, something that's along the lines of, you know, if Punk ever decides to get in the ring, he's basically going to talk to us first. Or something along the lines, like, they're pretty close.
Right.
You know, and Punk has made no bones about it. Like, he loves the Young Bucks and has for a long time. If they somehow use their magic, not even to wrestle, but chat, just have Punk like make an appearance, even if they're not in Chicago, they're going to sell 10K.
Oh yeah,
easily. You put that in. You put in, you know, people from the Elite, Bullet Club. Maybe they could bring in, you know, some Ring of Honor, because apparently like Ring of Honor is helping them.
Yeah,
you know, as far as planning, not necessarily helping them financially, because financially apparently it's all Young Bucks and Cody. But they're helping them as far as planning wise, so they're gonna have plenty of roster resources from Ring of Honor, and I'm sure, you know, with their working partnership with New Japan, you know, like, it's going to basically be an indie super show.
Yeah,
and you know, I really don't think they're gonna have any trouble selling that.
No,
much.
I don't think so. And you know, again, this is a ways out. We're definitely not hearing a lot of what they've already planned yet, because it's just not been announced yet.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you're looking for, they're looking for a WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They're looking for a Wrestle Kingdom kind of thing. They're looking for an event that they can hang their hat on.
Well, you know, we talk about what, you know, I watched last weekend, and, you know, Cody's looking for his Starrcade. Mm-hmm. You know, his dad, you know, came up with all these great wrestling ideas and these wrestling, you know, promotions and shows. Basically, Starrcade was the, you know, WWE doesn't like to admit it, but Starrcade was the predecessor to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And so Cody's just, you know, wants to give something like that a try. Just come up with a super show for the indies. And, you know, good on him. I don't necessarily know if the headline or the main event of Cody versus Daniel Bryan is going to, you know, alone sell out the building. I think Kenny Omega and Daniel Bryan would.
Yeah.
but that's just me. But you know, of course, if he's helped paying for it, of course he's going to put himself in the main event.
Well, yeah, no,
like obviously. Why wouldn't you? If I'm a promoter and a wrestler, of course I'm going to put myself in the main event. Jerry Lawler's been doing that for like 40, 50 years,
and he's been right to do it. Again,
yeah, I mean the crowd's still to this day hot for him.
Mm-hmm. Again, we are talking about how to, you know, promote and do business in this strung together sideshow business. Yeah. And so things like, and then the things like people complain about Hogan all the time, mm-hmm. and Hogan always put himself over, and you know, and the thing is like, okay, yeah, I'm mad about that on a personal level of what mm-hmm. I enjoy, but Hogan had that sway. And
I mean, well, he had even more sway in WCW, but you know, WWF was putting him over anytime they could, and that necessarily wasn't his call. You know, he was just basically doing what the promoter asked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't even look all that badly on Hogan for stuff like that. You know, I look more badly on like Lawler. You know, he booked his own promotion, and he booked himself as the top face for decades. And I'm just focusing on Lawler. I know basically Dusty did the same thing down in Florida,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's so many other, you know, examples of this. So, of course, if you're running the book
and you're getting a successful
reaction, then, yeah, obviously you book yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It happens.
Vince did that as soon as Vince could book himself.
Oh, sure, yeah. Like, he never... But the difference is Vince never got over on really anyone.
Okay.
He lost a lot. He won a lot, but he won a Royal Rumble.
He won a Royal Rumble. He's been champion.
Yeah.
He's been ECW champion.
I felt like that was the bigger, like, middle finger.
I mean, yeah, it is.
I mean, he won his belt for his promotion, then, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean...
But see, the thing, like, that only happened, I think... He won one Royal Rumble, and I think he won the championship at least once.
I think he's only won it once.
Again, those are really low numbers if you think about it. If you think about the other territories, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I almost admire his restraint for a guy who's always wanted to be a wrestler, but his dad told him he couldn't.
And I mean, he's... But
until he had, you know, until he had fully control.
Yeah. I don't... It's a thing where, and because some of this comes down to what are you watching this, you know, type of entertainment for? Mm-hmm. And that is a big thing. That's becoming a bigger and bigger thing with this indie stuff.
Yeah.
With people who like WWE, have watched WWE all their lives, and are dipping their toes into other promotions. And as other promotions become easier to sample, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you kind of hear these things, you know, oh, we got this guy, you know, excited, excited. Oh, this guy's going to face this guy, excited, excited.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were there, I mean, part of it is, so New Japan has announced that at Wrestle Kingdom 12, Chris Jericho
mm-hmm.
is going to face Kenny Omega.
Yep.
Which is a very exciting thing. And putting aside that this is a huge get for New Japan,
yeah.
Putting aside all the implications that this means that Chris Jericho is wrestling with a different company for the first time in
since 97,
yeah, 96? I was gonna say 20 years,
yeah.
And Chris Jericho is not on bad terms with WWE, no. So this is
he's
not
just doing. He's you know, he's a free agent,
right? This is not like a screw you guys. I'm taking my ball and going to play in the mm-hmm. other playground.
It feels more like a bucket list kind of thing.
Yeah. So putting all that aside, I am assuming the storyline leading up to this match is Chris Jericho is going to face Kenny Omega because Chris Jericho is going to face Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
And they're going to cut a handful of promos of I'm best in the world. You're a, you know, WWE mm-hmm. stooge and this is real wrestling. Welcome to real wrestling.
Yeah.
But there's no... Chris Jericho's not being part of New Japan now. He's not switching. He's not going to be part of the storyline. And so the appeal of this is just the appeal of this guy versus this guy.
Yeah.
And one of the guys is going to win, and one of the guys is going to win in a predetermined way. So we're just watching the spectacle of this guy choreograph fighting that guy.
Right. Yeah.
And so if what draws you to this, which at the end of the day still me personally draws me to it, is this insanely overarching storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the things where I'm like, oh, this is a reference to that from 3 years ago. I'm being rewarded for my, you know, following this. And again, the thing that got me back into it is we're continuing the Montreal Screwjob storyline. That's a 13-year storyline.
Right, yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Right.
Which this isn't. And WWE does this all the time. This guy's back. Da-da-da-da-da-da. He's gone. Oh, yeah. He was always going to be gone.
Yeah.
That was just a spectacle fight.
Yeah.
And this isn't to say boo spectacle fights. They're bad. They're wrong. They don't do anything. It's Cirque du Soleil, where it's like, there's no story. It's just stunts and dazzle lights.
Mm-hmm.
And some people love stunts and dazzle lights.
Mm-hmm.
Totally works. Totally gets over.
Yeah. Especially if it's just going to be a one-off. Yeah.
But it comes down to when you're an indie promotion and you get eyes on your promotion for the first time who are used to WWE,
mm-hmm.
what do you do to keep them? Because what WWE does, or what they should be doing, at least what they usually do, is something that makes you go, oh, I got to tune in next week. Oh, I got to make sure to see the fallout of that.
Yeah.
And go back to when you first started wrestling,
mm-hmm.
whenever that may be in your brain, and especially those of you who watched it as a kid, stopped watching it, and then came back to it. Go back to that when you came back to it.
What is it? What was it that hooked you?
Well, there's something that hooked you,
mm-hmm.
and you had this feeling of I'll watch through this.
Right. There's one thing that gets your attention to where you get eyes on it for the first time and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's something that keeps you there.
Right.
You know, assuming that you've been a fan since that moment.
Right. There's another storyline
on
that doesn't end at that same time, and so you
you
follow that one out. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a couple, and then you follow those out, and it gets to the point.
Like, all right, I'll see when this ends, how that's going to end, and then I'll give it up.
Right.
But by that point, something else has hooked you.
Right. Yeah. And that pulls you into this weekly viewing, this following the story, this what comes next.
Man, I don't know. I need to have a conversation with somebody who's like becoming a fan like right now. And be like, what is it that's hooked you and why? Because I honestly can't think of anything.
Oh, no, there's nothing. This feels like...
Yeah.
This feels like the easiest time to not watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Because
I'm assuming, I'm assuming a casual viewer isn't watching something like NXT. Now, if it was NXT, like, yeah, then...
If it's NXT, I get it.
If you've got eyes on any part of War Games, then, you know, yeah, I'm greatly anticipating what happens next with NXT, and I'm hooked.
Well, NXT, again, has 5-6 storylines going on. Doesn't get to each one every week,
mm-hmm.
But also doesn't try.
Yeah.
And by doing that, by putting on a 3-hour show mm-hmm. that's then split over 3 weeks, basically,
right.
and knowing that you're watching 1/3 of a show,
mm-hmm.
You get this, you know, sensation of I need to tune in next week because I'm falling. That's my story is next week.
Right. Speaking of, I want to challenge you, Joel.
Okay.
Because we all know how ho-hum December usually is
mm-hmm.
for WWE, especially for the main roster. I have, and again, I'm not going to give anything away, but I have basically gone through the tapings for NXT for the next month that they did last night, and it might be the best month of NXT TV that they've ever done.
Really?
Like, I don't know which matches are going to go on what episode, but if they spread it out, you could see at least one match that could be a takeover main event, you know, any other time of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to challenge you because I'm going to talk about it pretty much every week in December.
Okay.
Because it's probably going to be the best thing this month. I'm going to challenge you to watch NXT this whole month if you can.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Just set out 1 hour. And because they're going to do qualifying matches for a Fatal 4-Way to determine the number one contender.
Mm-hmm.
We've already heard like a couple of those are one of the preliminary matches for that is Cassius Ohno versus Gargano, and apparently it's a clinic.
Okay,
you know, and it seems like the entire 4 weeks is so stacked that, spoiler, Velveteen Dream hasn't been on any of it.
Wow.
Like, and it's one of those things where, like, they're like 75%
this is coming right off the heels of where him solidifying himself.
He's basically
as a star.
Like one of the hottest people. I'm assuming they'll probably do something backstage or something involving him.
Right.
But coming off of War Games, he's one of the hotter people to come out of that show.
Right.
But it's just so stacked and so good that. Okay. Yeah.
I'll try to make a point of that.
Yeah.
I realized.
Because, you know, we both kind of at some point kind of got a little bit out of NXT because, honestly, it was kind of dragging on week to week for a while.
I realized, like, last week, kind of in the lead up to, not last week, week before
week
last,
before, yeah.
when it was lead up into Survivor Series, where I'm like, I don't have a consistent wrestling viewing thing anymore.
No.
Like, I don't have, like, I always see these shows, and I sometimes see these shows, like.
You're also putting on a play right now.
I am.
That doesn't help.
And there's, like, basically, but, like, some weeks, I'll watch all of Raw.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Some weeks, I'll watch Raw on, like, DVR fast-forward mode or, like, the Hulu 90-minute version.
Yeah.
I'll watch, like, SmackDown replays on YouTube. And then I'll definitely see 205 Live, but then not NXT. And
Which feels backwards.
Well, because I'll see it on Tuesday and there's not anyone, and then I don't get to it on Wednesday. Or some weeks, it'll be Wednesday and I haven't seen anything yet. And I'm like, all right, NXT first. I go NXT, and then I do YouTube highlights of whatever they showed me on NXT of, like, also on Raw this week. And I'm like, all right, I'd see more of that.
Yeah.
But I don't have, I used to.
Honestly, the best way is to try to at least watch each of those shows the day that it airs. Not necessarily live, because that's, but at least that day, because at least you can, that's the best way to keep track of it. Because if you get later in the week, you're just like, oh, I haven't watched it. And I've already gone this far. I'll just wait till next week and just watch next week.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very easy to
do.
If
especially NXT, you know, because it is just an hour long. If you could just find to that point, you know, Wednesday night or, like, Thursday morning or something to watch it, then, you know, otherwise you'll put it off.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it when I was complaining about, like, I still don't know who's on what show, so these shakeups don't mean anything.
Right.
Part of it is that, is, like, it'll be Thursday, and I'm like, all right, let's just, you know, YouTube highlights are on their official page by now. We'll just watch that. And I'll be like, am I watching Raw or SmackDown right now?
Yeah. Especially because, you know, they do that weird booking that we just, it's hard to follow from week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, your favorites is left off the show for some reason.
Oh, I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah. Okay, so I challenged you last week, and I kind of put you on the spot.
Oh, yeah, my favorite?
Do we have any sort of progression? I'm not going to flat out ask if you've made up your mind, but have you made any sort of progress that you're willing to share? Or am I putting you on the spot
again? No, you're not. Okay. I mean, you are, but, like, I'm going to be polite about it.
Okay. Fair enough.
So last week,
I'm going to keep asking you every week until I get an answer. Or if I forget.
I will say I'm not ready to throw my hat over the wall, make a commitment like I did with Ziggler, like you did with Nakamura. Because I feel like Ziggler replaced John Morrison for me.
For you,
in this, like, I am picking the next big guy.
Right.
Kind of feel.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you want to be able to do that.
Right.
You want to be able to, like, I liked him when he was a mid-carder.
The comparison is, okay, pulling the curtain back. I've been a big NASCAR fan since, like, I was 8. You know, started with my dad. And, of course, I like the guy who won all the time. I was a big Jeff Gordon fan.
Yeah.
And then he retired, like, two, three years ago. And so I'm like, well, what's the point now? Like, I don't have. And then, you know, that next Daytona 500, the first race of the year, I'm just sitting there watching it at home. My roommate is there, and he notices one of the drivers has a funny name, Martin Truex Jr. He's like, hey, it's T-Rex. We laugh, like, haha, cool. He's going to be our new favorite. We're just going to root him on. in that same race, he finishes second by like a hair. The closest finish I've ever seen at Daytona 500. Flash forward to this season, he blows everyone out of the water and wins his first championship this year. And I'm like, that's an investment that just paid off. Like, holy cow. Because, you know, he was kind of an obscure guy who I'd seen around for years, but he was kind of like, he was a mid-carter.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And then this year, he was like, yeah, screw your glass ceiling, you know? And so I, like, it's this rush of adrenaline because, you know, you had nothing to do with the success.
Yeah.
But when you pick a guy or female and they hit it big and everyone loves it and everyone's going nuts for it, and like, you feel like you had something to do with it.
Uh-huh.
You know? Like, I was all about Punk's heel work in SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Straight Edge Society. I thought it was brilliant. To the point where he was kind of pissing me off too. He was like, oh, that's a good heel. I hate it, but he's so good, you know? And then I hated the way he was getting used in New Nexus. I'm like, they're wasting their talent. His contract's almost up, you guys. Like, this is gonna be nuts. And then the pipe bomb hits and he's like the most popular thing ever. And I'm like, I didn't help with this, but I feel like I did, you know?
It's a
drug.
Yeah, no, I understand. I still have, and like I'll probably put this out someday. I have an early draft of a No Chance column about please don't let Punk slip through your fingers.
I think I wrote a similar article.
It was a pre-pipe bomb thing.
Yeah.
To be fair,
I think a lot of us were writing that article at that point.
And it was close to the pipe bomb. It was somewhere in that June. Yeah. Where I had just assumed he was gone.
I remember,
and so it was a little bit of like a tip of the hat farewell.
I remember
you were too good for this world kind of thing.
Right, because I remember this is going to make no sense to anyone listen to. It was when I was crashing at the Blue House when I moved back to Greensboro, but I didn't have a place to stay. And you had gone back home, so I was staying in your old room.
I remember.
I was typing up an article about, you know, Punk contract is almost up. Please don't do it. I was basically writing that same article, and I remember I was writing it in your old room in the Blue House, which is also the same place I watched the pipe bomb happen.
Yeah.
So it was around that same time. Yeah. Because we were all scared.
Yeah. So
at that point, like, we didn't really have much of a infrastructure as far as independent wrestling.
Right.
As far as like viewing it on a consistent basis online or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
There's things like other examples of this. There's a new Jumanji movie coming out.
Yep.
Which immediately people are going to be like, new Jumanji, terrible idea, da 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 da, for reasons X, Y, Z. And they're not invalid reasons.
They're not violently like spewing hatred about it like they did with the new Ghostbusters when that trailer dropped.
No, yes. But like, nobody's excited about the new Jumanji movie.
Yeah.
Joel. So, okay, there's a movie called Central Intelligence came out.
With Rock and
Kevin Hart. The tagline for that was, sometimes you just need a little Hart and a big Johnson. And I was like, that is a clever line.
Yeah. So now you're on board anytime they're in a movie together?
So that was a good enough for me to watch that movie. Central Intelligence is way better than it's
These guys are
solid comedic chemistry. Yeah.
I went into that movie kicking and screaming. I did not want to watch it, but like, not even like 5 minutes in, I was like, I was laughing my head off.
Yeah. These guys, I need to see like an Abbott and Costello 14 movie run of these guys bouncing off each other.
Different characters, different situations, but as long as they're, you know, playing off of each other.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, fast forward a little bit, they're going to be in the new Jumanji movie together with other people, but they're in it together.
Yeah.
Well, which one I was like, all right, I'm on board. I am excited for the new Jumanji movie. Mm-hmm. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle is going to be a great movie, everybody. And they're like, no, it's a stupid giant cash-in. And
but they said the same thing about Central Intelligence.
And so just now, good reviews are starting to come out.
Right.
And saying that
because
Jumanji is surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And actually going to be enjoyable, et cetera, et cetera. And I had to be like, yes, Joel was right about Jumanji.
To be fair, I was the same way about Baywatch, the new Baywatch.
Yeah.
Again, with Rock, but Zefron. And I love Zefron in Neighbor.
Uh-huh.
Or whatever.
Neighbors, yeah.
Specifically the first one. The second one, But the first one was so much, so funny, and like Zefron, like he really like he improved his comedy chops.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, Baywatch, this new and improved Zefron and Rock together. How could this go wrong? And I watched it. I was like, I can't.
No, it went terribly wrong.
Right. So Zefron does not have the same chemistry with Rock that Rock has with Kevin Hart. So I like from this point on, like as soon as I see that those two are cast in the movie together, dollar signs. It's gonna be you know.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be at least bearable to get through the whole entire movie. I couldn't get through the entire thing of Baywatch.
No. Baywatch was terrible. One of the worst movies I've seen this year.
Yeah. Easily.
Sorry, The Rock. I'm still excited about Welcome to the Jungle.
So yeah, your favorite wrestler.
Okay, I know what you're saying.
Like you were saying, I
have one more. I have one more example. I'm building examples here to get to my point.
I thought I was going too deep in an opposite direction when I was talking about NASCAR, but okay.
No,
continue.
Okay. Stranger Things.
Yes.
Came out recently.
Stranger Things
2 came out recently. I don't think this is a big spoiler. Cover your ears if you need nothing.
I've watched them all.
I know, but I'm telling the podcasting audience.
Who cares about them? this is for us. No one listens to this.
Okay, just a whisper, and again, not really a spoiler, but Steve, who was disliked in the first season, becomes
I didn't understand
by the
because band. I agree with you on this because I watched season one right after season two came out, and I had always heard like you know everyone hates Steve, and I'm watching this, and I'm like. Yeah, he's a little bit of a jerk, but I like this guy.
See?
Yeah, and the same way.
It's about, like, episode, like, two or three, Steve did something, and I'm like, of season one, and I'm like, we're going to turn around, Steve. The whole viewing audience is going to turn around. Steve's going
to
be awesome.
Because, like, he was starting to turn around towards the end, because anytime he got angry, it's because of a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily anyone's fault.
But
he realized that.
The problem with binge viewing is I don't have, because that happened, like, episode three,
yeah.
I could have had like weeks to be right. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to all turn around. We're going to all love Steve.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, no, you're just saying that. Just like the Joker was always your favorite and it didn't start in 2008. Right. So you want to do that for a wrestler.
Yes.
You want to be able to be like, I called it way back when.
Granted, I called Nakamura whenever he was already like the biggest success in Japan already. So it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, that's a little bit cheating.
Fair. And that's why like I'm willing to as well find someone else who isn't established.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing. We need to attach ourselves to someone in NXT. Mm-hmm. Is what we need to do. Like. Not necessarily like an indie person that brought in, but an actual like NXT graduate.
Yeah.
Like Performance Center graduate. So I'm calling dibs on Velveteen Dream.
I'm calling dibs on whatever character he comes up with after that.
I'm assuming you're
Patrick. I'm calling dibs on Patrick, whatever he may be.
Okay. Dang it. That's
bidding $2. That's bidding $1 up in prices.
I was gonna be like the only other person I could think of is Lars, and I couldn't remember his last name. And the only thing I could think of was the drummer from Metallica, and he'll just sue us for even mentioning his last name.
So again, like I mentioned last week, AJ Styles is probably the like I'm most excited.
Yeah.
Let's watch him. Mm. But he's. He seems to be alluding to the fact that he's towards the end of his career.
Yeah.
He won't put...
And
he,
you know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, he's been a workhorse since he's been in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going on 2 years now.
Yeah. And so, thinking about it this week, I was like, you know who I feel like I've been attached to a long time and want to see be a top guy but isn't? Is Dean Ambrose.
I had a feeling you were going to say that, yeah.
And Dean Ambrose is a little bit like Nakamura, where the internet is like, when's he debuting? Is he debuting now? Is it this week? So, like, I came in being like, well, I'm supposed to be cheering for that one.
Right, yeah.
But he feels like he's been lost in the shuffle.
Mm.
Seth Rollins has gotten a surprising but deserving mega push, being the one that was picked to be the betrayer, to become the top... You know, heel of the company for
and
a while.
And again, we talk about workhorses. He was like the workhorse for almost a year.
Oh, yeah. No, he was called to step up to the plate, and then he swung for the fences. Like, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Take nothing away from him. But he's been a S.H.I.E.L.D. graduate star. Roman has been... And again, like...
Roman was the teacher's pet.
That's the thing. We can throw in, like, silver platter stuff. Roman has stepped up and swung for the first baseline. But he still swung. Like,
he put a mighty swing into it.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, a pop foul.
Again, not his fault. Some of his fault.
Well, I mean, he's the one that swung, so he made contact, so it's kind of his fault.
We're getting a little inside baseball on the baseball reference.
But he wasn't the one that put himself third in the lineup.
Right.
There you go.
Solid save. No, but Dean Ambrose feels like the lost one.
Right.
And I feel like I did with Ziggler, I was like, oh, nobody cares for you. Yeah. You're mine now.
He was the one who was picked to bat fourth, and the season's been long, and the manager's lost faith, and now he's, like, batting eighth.
To take your baseball metaphor and use a basketball metaphor to describe it, you're shooting air balls on this one.
Oh, man. I wish there was a football analogy I could throw in there, but I'm coming up.
My excellent basketball analogy was definitely a touchdown of analogies to describe your air ball of a baseball analogy.
My hockey analogy is saying that you need 5 minutes in the sin bin for that.
Anyway.
Rugby.
Jenga.
Flag on the field, or yellow card.
So, like, I want to do Dean Ambrose, and I'm kind of sitting there being like, yay, and more so than that, I realized this week, is I just want the Shield for a while.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too, honestly. It's a good, I don't want to say reset, but it's a good, like, momentum builder for all three guys.
Yes.
You know, It gives Roman some cheers.
It gives Roman some cheers.
Which is what all WWE wants. It gets a momentum for Rollins and Ambrose because they've kind of lost. Because Ambrose, not to go back at the baseball, you know, baseball metaphor, but, you know, his return after the long injury was a big whiff. And Ambrose, it's like they pushed him really well leading up to WrestleMania 32. You know, Roadblock against Triple H was probably the hottest he was in the company at that point.
Yeah.
And even when he was WWE champion when at the brand split, and he was like the guy in SmackDown, even that feels like losing momentum compared to, you know, around Roadblock.
Right.
And so it's a momentum build for Seth and Dean. And a good hideout for Roman, you know?
Yes.
And I'm okay with that for a while.
Well,
and honestly, like, the Shield as a trio has never had a big, like, you know, WrestleMania moment. Like, we remember their entrance in WrestleMania 29. It was cool. But no one cares that it was against... It was a match against Sheamus, wasn't?
Oh, that one.
Sheamus, Big Show, and somebody else. Randy.
Yeah.
No one cares about that match. No one cares about the next year at WrestleMania 30 when it was
New Age
finally
Outlaws.
Good guys and New Age Outlaws again and Kane and beat them in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I would like a big, like, drag out fight with whoever at WrestleMania. You know, I feel like the crowd would really get behind that. You can make it a main event. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, build a hot angle around it and go for it.
When it was like, oh, we're bringing back the Shield, we're reuniting.
Yeah.
It felt like, oh, this is for a very limited time. I already see that the end has to happen because Roman has to.
It probably still will.
Yes, but as we kind of get closer to that, I feel like I'm okay with that if it doesn't end the Shield.
Right. Sure.
And it's like
if they just kind of deviate for WrestleMania, then
well, like Roman, together. A member of the Shield, is gonna go try and grab the title and bring it home.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does that, you know, good for him. Now a member of the Shield is champion, and Seth and Dean can have a tag team match or whatever.
Sure.
And I that's risky, but I feel like if you go, there's no way you can not make it look like we're breaking this shield up so that this match can happen.
And to be fair, that's something that we've been wanting for New Day for a while. Not necessarily break up, but explore options in singles, you know?
Right. And so, you know, this should, this version of the Shield should end in a WrestleMania triple threat main event for the title.
Yeah.
And to have that happen, one of them needs to have the title going into WrestleMania.
Right.
Okay, it can be Roman.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, they can go all out and just have it for the Intercontinental belt, you know?
I mean, right now, yeah.
Honestly, I don't care what belt it's for.
So, you know? These guys should
But that would be also a way to go about, they could, that even in that aspect, you can have that triple threat match without breaking them up.
Right.
It would cause strain and cause some, you know, weird drama, but we haven't had anything like that in a while, where people who are an existing tag team, or an existing team, that are good on good terms, but forced in a situation where they have to fight each other, you know?
And so, if I'm allowed to, I'm going to say that my favorite right now is The Shield. The Shield is a thing that I want to have see success for. And I know that that's not a guy.
Okay.
But to really bring it back, because this is what I've been aiming
Here's
what I've been aiming for this past hour. Because The Shield is, in many ways, the concept of the Avengers wrapped into wrestling, where these major guys who have been working around and building these careers, because they started as nothings in this group, went out and now are big things. And now we are at this point where it is a big deal. They are three top tier guys coming and becoming this team.
I hate you so
You're
much.
Pretty impressed, aren't
you? No, I'm not.
You're very
Your
impressed.
Your theory is being held together by glue, and not even, like, good glue, but, like, Elmer's.
No. I'm serious in here. I'm serious that because this is now a team of top-tier guys, it's DX become reforming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, that these, when these teams are unstoppable forces rather than guys that need to team up.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, can't do it on their own.
Right.
And that's a fundamental flaw in New Day right now. Fundamental flaw is the wrong word. But that is a stopping point with New Day, is New Day is still three guys that can't get it done on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great together and a force to be reckoned with together, but can't get it done on their own. And so, in some ways, this is a risk. Because when you apply that same logic to tag teams, two single stars are always going to beat an established tag team if you view tag team as two guys who can't get it done on their own. You shouldn't, because theoretically, tag team is a different style of wrestling. It involves cooperation and strategy and da-da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
And an established tag team should always beat two randos thrown together.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. that's ideal storytelling that gets thrown out the window all the time.
Right.
But.
Well, see, here's the thing. I wasn't even going to, like, you know, just crap on your idea or anything, because I feel like, A, it's a little bit of cheating, because, you know, your favorite are around three guys who are already established, and one of them is, you know, WWE's, like, favorite toy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, again, like I said earlier, I picked Nakamura, and he's already an international superstar before he even stepped foot in WWE. So I'll allow it.
Well, and it's because this week, Roman came out, and he came out to Roman's theme, and I went, eh.
Well, yeah, also, Dean was on his honeymoon, so you couldn't really do the full
I know that,
Shield entrance.
But I'm excited for the Shield.
I know.
And I
know, like, we touched on it a little bit last week, but I was thinking back again when Roman won the Intercontinental Championship. And again, like, we all kind of rolled our eyes at it, but it was still good to see him have a genuinely, like, reaction when he won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like the first time in a long time it felt like he wasn't too cool for whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
Because that's been his character the entire time that he's been on his own. Like, he's just, you know, Yeah, I mean, he's too cool for anything. And you can't really do that when you're trying to elicit a violently positive reaction from the crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, if you act like you're too good for this, then people are, you know, are going to get bored with
it. I don't want to be excited for something you're not excited about, right, for you.
So it was,
I want to be excited with you, not for you.
Yeah.
That's a way to look at it.
So I felt like that was a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Where they go from that, we'll see. But I do want to touch on, before we end the show, I do want to talk about, you know, I was at Starcade this past weekend.
That was the final thing we need to do is I was Starcade.
You know, it was a lot of fun, but, you know, it ultimately was what, you know, to quote the late, great Arizona Cardinals coach Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were. You know,
yeah.
It was what we thought it was.
It was a house show.
It was a dress-up house show. No titles changed hands. It was a lot of fun. They brought in, you know, Arn Anderson was an enforcer for the first match, was Bobby Roode versus Ziggler. I'm sure at this point everyone's seen the gif of Ziggler taking a spine buster. It was fun. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves, and, you know, yeah. I'm glad I went. But at the same time, it's like, nothing big was happening. If people decided to go to WrestleCade instead, I completely understand.
Yeah.
You know, now WWE is saying that they are thinking of making this a regular thing,
mm-hmm.
specifically for Greensboro, which is cool.
It is cool.
You're just going to have to do something to get people interested rather than just making you can keep it as a house show.
If
but
you're coming to Greensboro twice a year for house shows,
yeah,
and you're like, this is the Starcade one, I feel like, oh, I'll still be like, oh, I got to make sure to do the Starcade one because I'm excited. But if you're just going to call it Starcade every time you come to Greensboro,
yeah, and not
that's going to be easy to see through a lot quicker.
Yeah, just like, oh, we're just going to schedule this November date every year in Greensboro and not really do anything mm-hmm. with it other than call it Starcade and bring in some, you know.
And I mean, I guess if
some Hall of Famers,
if it's always a struggle to, you know, fill up a house on the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Sure.
And this is a way to do it. Mm-hmm. I get that, but I like,
you're going to have to throw some spice into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can just call it Starcade next year and expect the same reaction. I think there needs to be some like, "Oh, it's Starcade and we're doing this mm-hmm. because it's Starcade and Starcade special. Please come see the show."
Considering, you know, you've been to a lot of the Greensboro WWE shows, you know that a lot of times the upper sections have been, you know, draped off.
Uh-huh.
And especially for Raws, you know, the hard camera side is pretty much blocked off and, you know, everyone's kind of been moved over to one side.
Yeah.
For this, only like a handful of rows at the very top of the upper section were empty. Yeah. You know, it was a good crowd that was
so
hot.
It worked.
Yeah, it completely worked, 100%. They're just going to have to find some way to make it work if they're going to continue doing it.
Yeah,
but it was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I went.
Good, 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 good.
We missed you.
Yeah, maybe next year, unless they do it on the same weekend.
Well,
on the same
weekend,
never do.
I know, because that's a big family tradition for you guys. I understand.
All right. Anything else?
John Cena's getting sued by Ford. He apparently has some sort of contract with them or something, and he bought this limited edition GT from them, and like only a few people, like you have to be approved ahead of time to buy it.
Okay.
And you have to agree to have it for like X number of years, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And John got it, and he sold it to somebody like an idiot because he said he needed the money. I'm like, what?
What?
Excuse me?
That's the story.
Yeah. I'm like, what has John Cena been doing with all of his mountains and mounds of money? And Ford is saying that John is going to have to basically give them the money that he got from the sale or something along those lines. Maybe more money after beyond that. It's just, yeah, that came out and that was super weird. It was reported on TMZ and some other outlets, so I'm assuming it's somewhat legit.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, you got to go. Everybody go see Ferdinand instead of Star Wars next month because apparently John Cena needs the money.
Is that what his movie's called? Like, I've seen the commercials, I just blanked on what it's called.
Yeah, Ferdinand, the very famous children's story.
I can't tell if you're messing with me.
The classic from I think the 30s. Yeah, the 30s, about the bull that loved flowers.
That was named after the dude who died and caused World War One.
Ferdinand the Bull.
Okay.
I mean, Ferdinand's a normal name. Like, there wasn't just one Ferdinand.
Franz is the only one I know of, and the band.
No, Ferdinand the Bull is a very famous children's story. They made a Disney movie out of it.
Well, yeah, it's coming out.
No, no, what's coming out is a Sky Pictures.
I know. I just wanted to...
It was a Disney short about Ferdinand, the bull who loved flowers, because it was a famous children's story.
I got nothing here, champ.
Your childhood, sir. All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when we watch wrestling.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send us an email. That's classroomreentire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or you write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other, other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah. We'll be right back.